If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.
Paranormal experiences don't really work to a timescale, and therefore, we invite you to listen to a dark minisode.
Hello everyone, and welcome unbelievably to the penultimate episode of a dark minisode for season 20. That's how quick this season has gone by. I genuinely can't believe it. And thank you to everyone who pointed out that this week's Dark Realms was advertised as a dark minisode, at least in title alone. Don't forget, the countdown is definitely on now to both the end of the season and also the end of the chance to get a free week's trial of our highest tier on Patreon, meaning early exclusive ad-free releases of everything on the main feed, and of course, access to Dark Bites, the entire Patreon back catalogue of over 100 hours of Patreon-only content. Head over to patreon.com/thedarkparanormal, and it will end on the day of the finale. And given episode 9 is out this week, then the finale next week, there will be a good few weeks of silence. So now is the perfect time to do so. But today, we are going to jump right into the minisode. And it comes to us from Bob, who writes, "Hi Kevin, my wife and I have been enjoying your show for several years. I look forward to Thursday nights, as that's when your latest show appears in our part of Canada. Please feel free to use my first name, but I'll adjust the name of anyone else in this experience for their privacy. Except for one experience as a child, every paranormal experience I have has centered around one person. And it seems as if she attracted this kind of thing and it spilled over into the lives of others. I'm now 60 years of age, and I think people would say I'm pragmatic, not prone to imagining or exaggerating things. This childhood standalone experience still haunts me to this day. I was maybe 7 years old at the time, and staying over at my step-cousin's house. I often stayed there for several days at a time, and in these cases, William and I would alternate sleeping on the bed or the floor. On this night, I had the bed. William was on the carpeted floor in the narrow area between the bed and the door. He had a sleeping bag and a pillow. My step-aunt had left the bedroom door partially ajar to let some light in, as William was afraid of almost anything. In the wee hours of the morning, I woke in a panic to the sound of an extremely loud woman's shriek. I awoke on my back, still covered with blankets. Looking up, I saw the ceiling light swinging wildly over my bed. I called out to William, but he was sound asleep, and interestingly, my scream didn't seem to stir my aunt nor William's sister at all, and they were in adjoining rooms just feet away from William's bedroom door. Although I was absolutely terrified, I felt the need to stop this light from swinging, so I get up on my knees on the bed, but still could not reach the lamp. I had to stand up in order to stop it from swinging. My sceptical mind thought maybe I dreamt the shriek and somehow hit the lamp myself. But due to the position I woke up in and the distance to the lamp, it was simply impossible. The rest of my experiences all centered around my high school sweetheart, Jenny. I was 16, she was 17, and we met in high school. We lived in Northern Ontario, Canada, and our high school was situated in a central location between dozens of small towns. It was a strange fact that not one student at this high school walked to school. Students had daily bus rides twice a day between 30 and 90 minutes each way, dependent on where you lived. Because of all of this busing around, it was common to ride the bus to school on Friday, then ride a friend's bus to their house after school so you could spend the weekend together. On the weekend of Jenny's 18th birthday, her mother said I could spend the weekend at their place. Jenny lived way out in the country, maybe 20 kilometers down dirt roads outside a tiny town of only 1,000 people. Her family had a small bungalow, and out behind the house were hundreds of acres of clear-cut forest. The clear-cut was exceedingly ugly. Nothing but stumps, rocks, and weeds. More accurately, ugly and sad. Maybe 100 meters north of the house, they had a bunkie, sort of a guest cabin. Perhaps 100 square feet with a loft and pot-bellied wood stove. Jenny's mother said we could spend the night in that bunkie. It was September and already quite cool at night, so we prepared a fire in the wood stove and went up to the loft to sleep. We'd been sleeping for some time, and it was close to dawn, when Jenny started thrashing around, screaming and crying. Between her tears and heavy sobs, she finally told me she'd had the worst nightmare. She said that in her dream, I was in the military, and aircraft were flying into skyscrapers, and buildings and people were burning and falling to the ground. When she started to feel a bit better, I went outside to use the outhouse. As I rounded the corner, I saw something very unusual. There were maybe half a dozen ravens, crowded around the decorative round window at one end of the bunkie, looking in. I can't remember how they were perched. They may have been a sill at the bottom of the window. Mostly, I can't remember what happened immediately after I spotted those ravens. I know deep down inside that there was some sort of communication between those ravens and myself. But my mind must have completely blocked it out. I felt like I was going insane. Jenny and I hadn't used any alcohol and we never touched recreational drugs. Neither of us had any mental health issues, and to this day, I sometimes think that I should visit a hypnotherapist. Maybe try to get back that communication that was between me and the ravens. But then I immediately think it's probably a bad idea to try and remember a state where I felt nothing but despair. I wonder what you and your listeners would suggest about this, Kevin. After the interaction with the ravens, I went back around the corner to the front of the cabin. I looked out to the clear cut, and the dawning sun was just about to break over the horizon. As I looked out towards the sunrise, I had this sudden certainty that the world is not as we know it at all. Like all of our experiences were frivolous and on the surface of a much deeper, darker world that we didn't sense at all. I could feel my spirit deflate, and I sank into a horrible despair. Somehow, suddenly knowing that the real world is a dank, horrible place that is just out of reach of our senses. My best attempt at a metaphor would probably be to say that we are like water bugs, skating on the surface tension of a pond filled with unimaginable horror and despair. Today's episode of The Dark Paranormal is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it. So your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Companies and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store at Lowe's.com for details.
Time went on, and this whole experience slid to the back of our minds. I'll never forget the soul-crushing despair that I felt that morning. But it wasn't too long until our next unusual event. During the following January, I rode the bus to Jenny's house for another weekend together. There were only three houses on Jenny's dead-end dirt road. In the other house next door lived two teenage girls that were good friends of Jenny's, and at the end of the road, there was this old, small, abandoned two-story farmhouse. Jenny and her friends used to hang out in this house. They kept it clean, tidy. They used it like a clubhouse. The girls told me that it had been owned by a successful farming family, but that the father had fell into alcoholism and the family fell apart and left. That Saturday night, an extremely cold January night, a group of us hiked up to the abandoned farmhouse. In our group was Jenny, her two friends, Jenny's brother, Jerry, and I. There are no streetlights this far back in the woods, and the stars and the moon were very bright in the pitch-black sky. It was so cold that the snow squeaked like styrofoam under our boots. The cold air was biting our lungs and noses, but was perfectly still. The snow was deep, and we followed a narrow foot track in the snow to the back door of the farmhouse. The house sat atop a hill, with a small, broken-down barn sat behind, and overgrown fields all around, with a few trees closer to the home. The farmhouse was never locked, so we quietly entered. Jerry and I built a fire in the pot-bellied wood stove in the living room. The girls took a Coleman lantern and began playing cards at the kitchen table. We'd managed to get hold of a bottle of white rum somehow, and we'd had a few drinks. Jerry and I stayed in the living room, listening to Motorhead's Ace of Spades album. Jerry eventually smoked a joint and fell asleep. I didn't care for Motorhead at that age, as I was a huge Ozzy Osbourne fan, and I didn't smoke weed. So I stretched out on my back on the carpet in front of the wood stove, disappointedly listening to Motorhead and the sound of the girls playing cards. I had only a couple of drinks, so I doubt that alcohol had anything to do with what happened next. I'm laying on my back, and a strange heat seemed to flush through my entire body. A warm, calming feeling. At the same time, my legs began folding rhythmically and in unison. My knees almost touching my chest. They would fold, then straighten out on the carpet once more. This happened perhaps 24 times, and I felt very warm and happy. I could best describe it as the feeling similar to getting morphine in a hospital. Despite the good feelings, I suddenly developed an unstoppable urge to go to bed. This tiny farmhouse had a loft bedroom, one that overlooked the kitchen. The girls had placed some clean bedding on that lone box spring metal bed frame. I didn't know if anyone was supposed to stay over, or what the sleeping arrangements were meant to be. But at that moment, I didn't care. I climbed the steep stairs from the kitchen to the loft. That loft was in semi-darkness, as the lantern glow from the kitchen provided little light. As I looked around the loft, the figure of an elderly woman in a white nightdress came out of the shadows in the corner furthest from the bed. As hard as it is to believe, she pushed me to the bed, pushed me down onto the bed, and covered me up. I was not frightened at all. Again, I felt warm and happy. I felt like someone cared about me, even if it was this spirit. Surprisingly, I just drifted off to sleep. This is very much unlike me. If I'd been my normal state and my normal self, I would have ran downstairs and told everyone in excitement about what just happened. When I awoke in the morning, I felt fine, and I told Jenny what I'd experienced. I was so surprised to hear her say that she knew about this ghostly woman, and that she was proud of me for seeing her. Jenny and I broke up shortly after. I forget why. It was just an average high school stuff sort of thing. But even after we broke up, Jenny was at the center of my next paranormal experience. A friend, Stuart, and I were on summer holidays, and we planned a long canoe trip down a local river, a distance of around 40 miles on the nearby highway. But this river had hundreds of switchbacks in the low regions, rapids and waterfalls in the more hilly terrain, which probably doubled or even tripled the distance we had to paddle. I think it was the second night when we camped at the top of a series of waterfalls and natural granite chutes. We walked perhaps 5 miles to a nearby town to visit Stuart's uncle, and then walked back to the campsite. After 2 days of paddling and hiking, we were exhausted. It was a beautiful night, and very stuffy in our wee two-man tent, so I let Stuart have the tent to himself and fell asleep outside by the fire. I was very comfortable and fell asleep right away. Sometime later, I semi-awoke to a vision of Jenny's face. Her face was hovering perhaps 4 foot above mine, had a real bluish tinge to it, and was 3 or 4 times larger than a normal face. It was speaking to me, telling me to go into the tent, over and over and over. I was frustrated as I was so tired and comfortable and I just wanted to be left alone. I was probably not fully awake. But this giant face repeated, "Go into the tent," until I awoke fully and decided to maybe go into the tent. At this point, the face disappeared. No sooner did I get comfortable in the tent when I heard loud breathing and shuffling sounds. I could hear the cooler that we'd wisely left outside the tent get a massive blow and go tumbling away. The breathing became much louder as the pegs from the tent were kicked out one by one and the tent fell in on us. Black bears are very common in that area, so I can only assume it was a black bear. A raccoon couldn't send a cooler flying. After maybe only 1 minute, the burr wandered off. I was too frightened to speak, so I didn't wake Stuart, and I just fell asleep in the collapsed tent. Nothing else happened that night, so in the morning, we packed up and got back on the river. The burr incident was the last with Jenny. In brackets, even though it wasn't strictly with her. Close brackets, for 27 years. By 2009, I was in the military. I was a sergeant and was on deployment to an austere environment. My subordinates were all young people, and they were fans of Facebook. Now, Facebook was entirely new to me. So while I was on shift in the evening, I had a look at this new-to-me application. I remember that we had to be very careful with our bandwidth in this location, as the only comms to the outside were through a 3.8-meter dish that was one of the items my unit was in charge of. So I certainly didn't allow any music or videos to preserve the bandwidth. On Facebook, for the first time, I looked up some old high school friends, and they led to other suggestions, and then, with a shock, I saw Jenny's name. I sent her a quick message just to say hi and to see how her life turned out. She said that she'd had to undergo some operations to deal with a brain tumor, but she was okay now. She was certainly surprised to hear from me, and said she'd been worried about me for years and was glad that I was okay. I wanted to learn more about the night the bear flattened our tent, so I asked her if she knew anything about it. She said she didn't remember anything, and she had nothing to do with it as far as she knew. Next, she had a question for me. Do you remember the night of my birthday, when I had that dream? I did, and I told her so. Do you remember that my birthday is September the 11th? I did not remember that. And immediately I shuddered as it all hit home. After Jenny, I often wonder if a brain abnormality can give someone the ability to sense things the rest of us cannot. I've done no research on it, but it seems to make a certain sense to me. Thank you for listening, Bob. Well, firstly, Bob, thank you for providing the penultimate dark minisode for season 20. And secondly, that is a hell of a series of experiences that you encountered there. I will say you did ask what's my thought and what's the listener's thought. I can't speak on behalf of the listeners, of course, but my thought in regards to visiting a hypnotherapist to maybe get back those memories of whatever communication you had with ravens. I'm in two minds, in all honesty. Because part of me is shouting, you've communicated with ravens, of course you need to know what that was. And the other part of me is saying, you've communicated with ravens. You probably don't need to know what they had to say. But Bob did ask for both mine and the listener's perspective, so if you do have your own perspective on that, feel free to email contact@thedarkparanormal.com. Now remember, we are accepting submissions for stories and experiences for season 21, but not to that email address. You either do it through the show notes where there should be a link, or you can go directly to the website and click on Submit My Experience. But back to Bob before we leave. You also implicate at the end there may be some correlation between a brain abnormality and the ability to see things others can't. And I think you could be right. Similar to yourself, I have nothing that backs that up, but I do know, and we've talked about it many times on the show, people with neurodivergence, people with dementia towards the end of life, and of course, children as their brain develops. In all of those situations, we're talking about a non-typical brain. And it's interesting the amount of non-typical brains that seem to be the ones who have these psychic or terrifying or sometimes wonderful experiences, but with things that no one else can see. So it's definitely an avenue for more investigation from my perspective. But thank you so much, Bob, for providing the email for this week's penultimate dark minisode. I'm sure it will start a lot of people thinking. And here's a synchronicity I wasn't going to share, but now I'm thinking, why not? You may as well, because it's legit. And that is, as I was reading through, I reached a natural breakpoint as I record, as I speak, which sounds, this would be a good point to put the break in so it doesn't jar the story too much. And I simply go into the file and type break and the time. And it was 9 minutes and 11 seconds. But anyway, let's put that one down to coincidence. But please take care of yourselves, and I'll speak to you all soon as we start to wrap up this, what I think has been an amazing season 20. Until next time, stay safe. Goodbye.